I don't know how God is going to do this, but I am absolutely certain. I'm standing right now before the great cloud of witnesses that right now I have no circumstances that could in any way suggest that this is doable in any way. God is going to have to do something. We're standing right now, the day I'm making this recording. There is 60 days left until the day I leave, and there is 77 days left until the day we marry. I probably need $40,000 right now to be able to do anything. Where's that going to come from? And I have been in shock. It's like I've been stupefied by the blessing of God. I'm kind of looking around as if I'm in a different world. This is a supernatural miracle. In the morning on June 26th, 2021. Lisa and I are still really, we're very excited about the idea of bringing the tiny house. And we both are just going, you know, we don't know if this is of us or if this is of the Lord. I mean, Lisa's the first to admit. She's like, I'm not saying this is of the Lord, but I just can't shake this thought. And she's getting excited about it. Last night, we had two really neat things happen. We're seeing that God is keeping us ultra in sync on scriptures in a way that is absolutely beyond any coincidence. So we went over all the scriptures that God showed me yesterday, which are incredible. Just the 2 or 3 hours I went out, God is showing me all these scriptures of blessing, of this is your promised land, 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 land. You know, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to work and fight for you on your behalf. I mean, just back to back, 14, 14, 233, you know, which is Exodus 14, 14 and Joshua 23, 3, the Lord God will fight for us. So it's just all these scriptures, I will deliver you. This is the blessing I have for you, et cetera, et cetera. All the way down to my heart will rejoice on my wedding day, Song of Solomon's 3:11, the very final one. So then we have, you know, the 10:44, surely this is our God. We will say in that day, surely this is our God. We have trusted in him and he delivered us. We trusted the Lord and he gave us salvation. And so that's all been happening. We went through all those scriptures yesterday, which were incredible. And then I said, you know, honey, we don't have anything yet that's showing us, like, you know, take the tiny house, move the house. And so there's not a scripture that we can point to that's telling us, like, that's what God wants us to do. So we both see that we're kind of a little bit indecisive and we're just waiting on God. Well, I noticed the number 505 popped up while we were on the phone. I looked at my phone and it was 505. And I thought, man, I haven't seen that scripture in years. And that was a 1 Peter 5:5 about humbling yourselves. And it was God using that scripture to get me to humble myself before my mom. So I didn't think much of it, but I just kind of paused and I'm like, am I supposed to see that? Is there another number that God is, another scripture that God's showing that with me? And I didn't even screen capture it. I just kind of let it go and didn't think anything of it. I woke up and started talking to her this morning. It was 4 o'clock for me and it was late for her. She starts telling me about, she said, honey, I saw the number 505. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, Lisa. I said, sweetheart, I saw it last night when we were on the phone. She says, Michael, she said, I knew you were going to say that. She said, I knew that when I told you I saw the number 505, you were going to tell me, honey, I've just seen it. She said, I knew it. This is happening over and over and over again. It's happening where we see God keeping us so in sync. Like here I am telling her about, oh, honey, I pulled in the driveway and my video camera, both of them show 119 and I saw it while I was out. And, you know, and then she says, wait. She's like, in prayer this morning, the number 119 just keeps coming in my mind. She goes last night, buys a pizza, and its estimated delivery time is 5:05. Then she gets in the car and 15 minutes later, she's driving home. She sees a 5:05 on a license plate and she's like, okay, well, clearly God has wanted me to look this number up. So she starts looking up this number. And this is after the conversation we had last night about, we were talking about bringing the furniture. She's like, honey, if you came to New Zealand with the tiny house, she said, you could bring all your stuff in the house. And she says, sweetheart, have you seen 2 Chronicles 5:5? And I said, no. And she goes, well, first of all, it talks about in verse 2, Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel. And then it talks about the Israelites bringing up the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. And all the men of Israel came together, the king at the time of the festival, in the seventh month. Then it says, when all the elders of Israel had arrived, the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it. She's like, sweetheart, what are the chances that we were just talking about furniture and all the things that you could bring? And, you know, here we're talking about like the ark and the tent of the meeting and how we keep talking about like the tiny house is synonymous for a tent. I've already declared this, that Jared and I have always talked about we live in tents like Abraham. And it's interesting that the scripture 119 that I didn't think about until just now, Hebrews 11:9, by faith Abraham made his home in the promised land dwelling in tents. So the tiny house is synonymous with a tent. It always has been for Jared and I. And we keep seeing these scriptures about tent. You know your tent will be secure. You will take stock of your property and find nothing missing. And so this is Job 5:24, another scripture that God has been showing us. So now here it is about taking up the tent and all of the sacred furnishings in it and moving it. So there's just these things, and it's like we're getting really close to going, okay, God is making this crystal clear. This, like this morning, 6:44, God acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. He showed me 5:44, you will not be put to shame. You know, you're not going to suffer disgrace or humiliation. He's just been showing us so many incredible scriptures. But right now, I've just come out of prayer for probably 40 minutes or so, walking back and forth on the deck and reminding the Father of all of these things that have to be done. And right now, it's 8:01. I just looked at my phone. It's 8:01. 8:01. And this is the message that God is giving us. 5:33. 8:01, he's given us both this message. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. So we have to be very careful to obey his commands. And he's telling us to ask. He's telling us to be very careful to obey. And so I'm not exactly sure what he wants me to do at this point. We basically are in a situation where if God does not act in our behalf by sending a sizable donation, I don't see how, you know, I don't see any other way around it right now. We have to have a lot of money. We need a miracle. We need God to show us in some way. We're praying for a huge donation somehow that will show us, because for me to send the tiny house over and yet not have the money to pay the child support leaves me stuck here. I'm stuck. There's no way that I can get from, you know, here to there. I can't even apply for a passport until after I pay this child support balance. So God is going to have to do something. We're standing right now, the day I'm making this recording, there is 60 days left until the day I leave, and there is 77 days left until the day we marry. You know, and it's like you start looking at 60 days, there's no way all this can happen in 60 days. I mean, if you're looking at the natural, if you're trusting in humans, we're finished. This is not going to happen. We will not end up getting married on 9/11. There's no way. And yet, we absolutely believe somehow, some way, God, hear my faith, that we are going to be married on 9/11, even if it means me having to take this tiny house there. It's impossible. If God does not act and do some miracle, there's been very little book sales. There was 2 book sales this morning. There's been very few donations in the last week and a half. I mean, everything is just down, 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 with the whole controversy of me going into this third marriage and people not understanding it, and it just looks horrible. And so there's been less support of the ministry and all of that. And so here I am in the weakest of conditions. This isn't going to happen unless God intervenes. We need a miracle, and we need a huge miracle. I mean, like the biggest donation I've ever received in all these years of the ministry is $5,000. And it came tail end of last year. It's the largest donation I've ever received by a long shot. I think the previous one to that might have been somebody at one point might have sent like, you know, maybe 2,000. I can't even remember. I doubt it. So it was a significant jump. So the largest one-time donation I've ever had is 5,000. I now need a donation of like, I probably need $40,000 right now to be able to do anything. Where's that going to come from? I probably need $40,000 right now to be able to do anything. Where's that going to come from? I mean, this is incredible. I mean, we are believing God for a huge miracle. This is not something like you just, oh yeah, it'll just work out. For example, this lady just told Lisa, well, you know, maybe it'll just work out. Maybe, yeah, maybe, you know, I mean, these things can happen. He can get here on 9/11. That lady has no idea what she's talking about. She doesn't realize the circumstances that we're facing. This isn't just going to work out. God has gone out of his way to show this is not going to work out without him doing a miracle. This is exciting. I have peace. Last night, the other thing that God did with us, I saw 8:48. I went to screen capture it and I just missed it. It turned 8:49. That's go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. And this is after this powerful prayer of God. We believe you. We trust you. Move and act on our behalf. Move these mountains. Break through these bronze gates. Cut through the iron bars, God. Remove these obstacles. Have mercy on us. Just a powerful prayer. And now I wake up this morning to a picture from Lisa's phone, 8:48. I didn't tell Lisa about the 8:48 last night. Second picture, 9/11. God continues to show both of us independent of one another. 8:28s, 9/11s, 8:48s, go in peace. Like here it is, exact time within a few hours of each other, God shows us 8:48. Incredible. Just incredible. So we are just believing God. We're at his mercy. I mean, this is incredible. This is surreal. You know, you're standing here, like I'm walking on my deck in my tiny house. There's nobody that knows what's going on about the situation. Nobody knows the details except for Lisa and I. Nobody. There's nobody else that can help. I haven't put this story out on YouTube. There's nobody will ever be able to say, oh, well, that's because you, whatever, you manipulated and somebody, nope. Nobody knows. Everybody thinks I'm selling the tiny house. Many people probably maybe have conjectured I've already sold the tiny house, and yet here I am walking on the deck right in front of the tiny house. 3 days ago, 2 days ago, feeling like the Lord is suddenly shifting through my wife his plan or his insight to us to let us know, nope, I want you to bring this to New Zealand. When I said pack up your belongings, I meant all of your belongings, not just the things inside the tiny house. Where I have conjectured incorrectly. I leaned on my own human understanding. Well, that surely that can't mean the tiny house is going to New Zealand, because we looked at that 2.5 years ago and that's a lot of money, and it'll be $40,000 by the time we get to New Zealand, and that's just too much money, and clearly God's not going to want to do that, and clearly I can't pay off the child support until I sell the house. So it became pretty like obvious, like, okay, well, logically, and that's logic. That's not God's ways. This will be another thing where it's like I was partially right. I heard God. He said for me to move forward. He said for me to pack up my belongings. I started doing that. And now he's telling me to prepare to move the tiny house there. And this is just incredible. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made an everlasting covenant with me, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring about my salvation and grant me my every desire? All these scriptures about God will save us, God will deliver us, we will see the salvation of the Lord, that he will make all the rough places smooth. He will, you know, raise up every valley. He will make the rugged places, you know, straight. I mean, this is just incredible. God is going to have to do a miracle. I'm either the biggest idiot I've ever met, which I have not proven to be that ever. It looked like I was going to be that way with P, but God did give me those dates. They just, I had conjectured incorrectly about what was going to happen on those dates. And it's almost like the same thing here. I could say, well, I just conjectured wrong that when God said for us to move, surely he didn't mean move the tiny house. But it becomes even more obvious, like Lisa said today. She says, honey, I think God is showing off. I said, yes, honey, in a way he is. He's wanting to show his glory. And that was a reference to the fact that we see him waiting to the last minute. He's waiting to the last minute to show that this, you know, and what seems like last minute to us, almost late, is actually right on time. God knows how to be right on time. And so all of us, we're like, oh, because we know we're dealing with the constraints of time and we're dealing with, oh, but what if this happens and what if that happens? God doesn't have to deal with those constraints. He can see everything. So for God to get something to happen effortlessly at the exact right time, she said, yeah, it's a bit like court, your court thing. I said, yes, 9.5 hour trial. It looks like I'm defeated all day. In the last 20 minutes, the whole thing turns around. Just incredible. It looked like I was being defeated all day. Didn't look like the judge was hearing anything I said. And there it was in the last 20 minutes was the victory. It always looks like, God, did you bring us out here to die? Did you give me all these promises? Did you get me out of this marriage just to now deliver me into her hands in court? I mean, it's the exact principle of getting out of fear of Pharaoh's hands and out of Egypt. And you're looking at this going, wow, did you just bring me into this situation, God? Give me all these promises. Give me Lisa. Give me the hope of New Zealand with my wife and being there and getting me there, you know, and all that stuff. And then selling the tiny house and having the finances and all that. Did you give us all these promises that you'll give us double blessing just to deliver us into the hands of these terrible, dreadful Goliath circumstances that we can't get around? No, he didn't do that. He's testing our faith. He's showing he did this. There's a reason why God intentionally hardens Pharaoh's heart again to come after the Israelites at the Red Sea. He is showing off his power. He says it point blank. I raised you up for this reason, to show you my power and to make my name known amongst the nations. And I believe God is doing that in my life. I believe he wants to do that in anybody's life who will yield their will to him and who will have faith to trust God to do what only he can do. So I'm believing that God is doing this. I'm believing that God is showing himself strong in our behalf, that God is making it look like he has given us this promise, delivered us into this marriage, gotten us out of our horrible, dreadful relational wildernesses that we were in, the bondages that we were in to dead people. And then we would say, did you only deliver us to then deliver us into death? You could say that. To bring us into failure, to make us look like fools? No, that is not how God does, but that's what the circumstances look like, and that's why it takes faith. In my natural eyes, it looks like I'm doomed. It looks like this is never going to happen. Nothing could ever happen like this. But with the eyes of faith, this invisible sixth sense that is so foreign and so foolish to the human understanding, there's this other way to tap into God and to see the impossible through faith. And I'm not believing faith in faith. This is me believing that God has shown us this, that God is the one who has said he's going to do this. This is what I believe that we have heard God say, that he is going to deliver us. I mean, this is just incredible. I'm going to go ahead and go through the scriptures that God showed me yesterday. I mean, this is incredible. You ask yourself, could this possibly be a coincidence? I mean, this is amazing. This is all just in a couple of hours out. 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. God is working for his glory. Simultaneously, 8:51, you, Psalm 8:51, you showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. We need favor. We keep seeing all these promises about favor, and God is going to show favor here. 8:59, these are all in chronological order in the order I saw them. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. It's all about land and glory. First three verses of scripture, land and glory. Proverbs 1:22, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Now I would just ask any person who has human reasoning, how are you going to tell me it's a coincidence that I see 8:18, 8:51, 8:59, 1:22, and every single one of those verses has this in common? It speaks of glory, favor, and land. Keep seeing Matthew 9:28. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? We're looking at all of our circumstances. We're looking at God asking us, do you believe that I can do this? And we are saying, yes, we believe you can do this. We keep seeing Psalm 123, you know, as the eyes of a slave to his master, as the eyes of a maiden to her mistress, so our eyes are ever on the Lord until he has mercy on us. Acts 27:7, we've made slow headway for many days and have had difficulty arriving off a Sinaitis. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lead of Cree. And I'm like, look at this. Have we had slow headway? Have we had difficulty arriving to the destination of New Zealand? Is the wind against us contrary? Yes. Then I see 1:7:1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Here it is. The time has come. Then 2:11, Genesis 21:1-2. Now the Lord was gracious, and I saw 2:11 and 2:12 back to back. Literally, screen capture, screen capture. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time he had promised him. And here it is, I'm seeing the 8:28 and the 9:11, and this whole thing is about God has to hit dates. Then, back to back, 14:14-2:33. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Oh, I just want to drink in that for a minute. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. We are on the battlefield. We have positioned ourselves by faith to battle. Joshua 23:3, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. I ask anybody in the world, how could you possibly say this is just coincidence? The only two scriptures probably in the whole Bible that so specifically say God fought for you, the Lord will fight for you, back to back numbers 14:14 and 2:33 as evidenced by the screen captures. Mark 5:36. Do not be afraid, just believe. 5:55, I will deliver you. Song of Songs 3:11, come out, daughters of Zion, and look at King Solomon wearing the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day his heart rejoiced. I mean, just absolutely incredible. It becomes very, very obvious to me that God is doing this, that he's telling us to just wait, he will deliver. And so now we wait. You know, I have to get off this land by August 1st, by actually the 31st. 5 weeks from today. That's what's so incredible. That's incredible. Lisa found this out last night. So here's the other thing that's so interesting. Unbelievable. Today is the 26th of June. The 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. That's 5 weeks to the day for me. She mentioned it last night, and it was 5 weeks to the day for her last night because she's a day ahead. But nonetheless, 5 weeks to the day. That's the number of God's grace. Oh, the other thing that's incredible, absolutely incredible. I took a screen capture and I made a video of it last night. I said, sweetheart, for 3 days, my inbox is staying stuck at 5,055 emails. So this is a guaranteed, absolutely 100%. I'm saying it now. It is absolutely guaranteed. You talk about Mark 11:22-24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and will be yours. I am absolutely certain. I don't know how God is going to do this, but I am absolutely certain. I'm standing right now before the great cloud of witnesses, God Almighty who lives in me by the Lord Jesus Christ in his spirit. They will know and have evidence that right now I have no circumstances that could in any way suggest that this is doable in any way, that I am doomed to fail. God has brought me to a place where I'm going to fail, that I've played a fool, that I've believed God for something, and that this is, quote, a delusion of my mind, and I'm going to end up being homeless. I'm going to have to put my house in storage, go live with my son, and I'm not going to have a wife. I'm not going to have a marriage on 9/11. This is going to be impossible. That is what human reasoning says, and that is what my circumstances say. Last night, I said, sweetheart, I'm going to look and see. I want you to see this. So I took a screen recording, and I scrolled through my screen captures where I have shown that for the last 3 days, no matter how many emails come and go, my email has stayed stuck at 5,055 emails without me even trying. So she looks at the video and she starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She says, honey, there's 5 instances of 555. This is amazing. I said, sweetheart, that's the day of court, February 16th of 2012. It was 5 instances of 555 on the way to court. That was God showing, this is the grace of God. I am going to do this. We're seeing 5 everywhere. 9/11 yesterday, 5. 505 last night. And so now this is incredible. 5 weeks to the day until I have to get off this land. 5 months to the day from the day that we do our Skype call to the day that we're supposed to get married. The day we are going to get married. And this is impossible. You look at this situation and you're like, you're tempted to say, this is even too much for God. That's the temptation. You look at this, you're like, man, how in the world could God do all of this? It's just so busy. It takes so much energy, the money. How is he going to do this? How is he going to do this? I mean, how many people could even make a sizable donation? I don't know. God's going to fight for me. Wow. Just amazing. Just amazing. I'm sitting here on the precipice of complete failure and complete disaster between the wedding ring, plane tickets, wedding dress, wedding outfits, I mean, the stuff that she's bought for the wedding day, food preparations, all kinds of other little things, gifts back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, man, I bet we've spent over $10,000. What a disaster. It's not going to be a disaster. God is going to come through. And he has to bring you to a place like this where it looks like there is no way this is going to happen. This is truly incredible. Truly incredible. But there's no way I can fail because I have trusted the Lord and the Lord is faithful to his promises. Michael commentary. The next recording you're about to hear is a recording of my wonderful wife doing one of the most blessed things she does for me is she regularly reads to me the streams in the desert. She kind of cheats because, you know, she's 17 hours ahead in the future of me. So she always is a day ahead of me on the streams in the desert devotional. And I love it. She'll find a jewel and then she'll record it for me and say, oh, honey, I've got this great message. So what you're getting ready to hear is just a little clip. And I'm going to include this in here because Jesus and Paul both said, let every matter be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. So Lisa is going to be my witness here that you're going to hear once again. She's going to firm up that I had told her in advance that in 3 days from the 26th, count 26th, 27th, and 28th, we were going to see some sort of an incredible blessing, a type of a crossing over Jordan. The Jordan River represents death. So it represents an impossibility. And God is telling us that he's going to bless us in some way that's going to enable us to step across that death, that impossibility. So you're going to notice that she's going to begin to read to me a day in advance, because this is June 27th when I received this recording. She's going to be reading the June 28th streams in the desert. And she quotes the scripture, with God, nothing will be impossible. Then take note of the fact that she surprises herself and she says, oh, wait a second. What is the date? Something specific about this date. And she remembers, without me having to, you know, remind her, that this is the day that I told her God had said something glorious was about to happen. End of commentary.
Oh, I'm just having a little peek at tomorrow. Tomorrow being the 28th of June, but it's titled, With God Nothing Shall Be Impossible. What day is that? Hang on. That is the day that you are expecting that God might do something. With the 110s, about the 3 days, I'm pretty sure you said it was Monday that 3 days was up.
And baby, I just saw 110. It's 115 now. I just saw 110 5 minutes ago, and I thought, wow, is the Lord telling me something's going to happen in 3 days? You know, again?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you said Monday to me today, baby, when we were talking.
Michael commentary. So the next recording you're getting ready to hear is when Lisa actually prays. And you'll notice that she prays for God to give us a sign, like a fleece from Gideon. Well, I wasn't able to find a recording because unfortunately, most of the conversations we have were real-time live between both of us over WhatsApp. But one of the things that Lisa started praying for, this was Lisa's idea, not mine, is that in order for us to actually and finally know whether or not God wanted us to move the tiny house to New Zealand, I had been saying it was going to be a need of about $40,000. You can already hear that in previous recordings. I keep mentioning this number, $40,000. So Lisa takes that and she goes to the Lord and she says, Lord, if you want us to move the tiny house to New Zealand, we're asking you to send us a $40,000 donation. And once we receive that donation, we will know that you want us unequivocally to send that tiny house to New Zealand. So you're going to catch a hint of this in the prayer she's about to speak before the Lord. So this was her idea. And I want to point this out because, first of all, she's praying late at night, so her energy level is low. The prayer you're going to hear from me, which happens the day before the miracle, is loud, it's powerful, it becomes very fiery towards the end of it. Even though I'm tired, you'll hear an overwhelming amount of the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon me to the point where even I was surprised. But I'm really wanting to point out that it's not about the volume of a prayer. It's not about the number of words in a prayer. It's not about the energy in a prayer. There is a fervency. The Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means there has to be some heat in it. But that heat will look different coming out of somebody like Michael than it will coming out of somebody like Lisa. And sometimes Lisa will get powerful and verbose in prayers, but she has a much calmer personality than me. But what God is looking for is the heat of faith in our heart. Don't ever let some loud, charismatic sounding prayer make you believe that if you can't pray like that, God's not going to answer your prayers. It's absolutely not true. And that's why it's really important for me to include Lisa's prayer in here as well, because this idea of casting out a fleece before God to give us a sign for $40,000 originates with my wife, Lisa. May God bless you and encourage you as you listen.
Lord, we just thank you for speaking to us the last couple of days. But Father, we need clear confirmation on exactly what your plans are regarding this tiny house. We need to know either way, Lord. We don't want to get ahead of you and we don't want to lag behind, Father. We just want to be in step with the Spirit and with your will and with the plans, Father. We don't want to miss out on what you've got for us. So, Father, I just pray that you make it extra clear, Lord, and I just pray that you will give us a sign, just like Gideon with the fleece, Lord. I just pray that you'll just make it so crystal clear to us, so that we'll be 100% sure in what you're trying to say. Show us in such a way, Lord, to get our attention. You know how to get our attention, Lord. You know what it's going to take.
Michael commentary. Indeed, he knows exactly what it's going to take to get our attention, and he's going to answer our prayer so specifically, it's going to leave all of us completely dumbfounded. Now, to set up this final recording that you're going to hear, this is an actual recording that I sent to Lisa. During this time, we have made quite a few recordings back and forth to each other where I will pray and then I will send her the recording. I record the prayer so that she can pray with me. Now, Jesus tells us to pray in private and not to pray to be seen by other people. This prayer is prayed in private. I never imagined I would share it, but I've had the Lord move me to share a few prayers. And the reason why I feel I'm qualified to do so in this instance is because this is a prayer that was answered. And prayer is the most important part of my life. It's the one part of my life that I've always regretted I have not been able to actually turn inside out and share with the brothers and sisters. Because if we were in fellowship with one another, you'd get to hear me pray often. And so you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to hear this prayer. And the reason is because there's a lot to learn. I would encourage you to go back and listen to this prayer. I could actually probably go back through this prayer and write a whole document and breaking down a lot of the principles that you will hear going on in this prayer. You're going to be surprised. Take note of how much scripture I pray back to God. It is an overwhelming amount of scripture. I want you to also notice that I start out normal. I start out tired. And I know that I'm praying out of obedience to the Lord, out of a desperate need, because we cannot live, much less walk by faith, without prayer. But I want you to notice, you're going to hear when the Holy Spirit literally takes over and it transitions from me praying to the Holy Spirit praying. To me, this is a remarkable prayer. I say this with all due humility before the Heavenly Father. It almost becomes a type of speaking in tongues. It comes out of me like a lava. And there is a very dramatic thing that happens the minute the Holy Spirit stops praying through me and I'm released from it. I've never had an experience quite like this in prayer. It was remarkable. And what you want to know is This prayer is the final prayer we pray before we see the biggest miracle we've ever seen. Pay special attention to the fact that you will hear that I believe in this prayer. I have already received the answer to this prayer. Pay special attention to that. So there's a lot of prayers that have built up to this, but you want to notice that this is an absolute completion of faith. This is Mark 11:22-24 faith, where whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe you have received them, and it will be yours. Take note of that in this prayer, and may God bless you as you listen. My sweetheart, you know that we must live, survive, and thrive by prayer, baby. And I realize that we've been praying together a few minutes here and there on phone calls, but we haven't done in a week or so the more dedicated, longer prayer time. And I'm feeling a little bit tired, not bad, but I want to pray together. Let's pray. And really, Father, I just ask you to please bless us with a spirit of prayer. I know Satan wants us to shirk off prayer, honey, just like what that paragraph I just sent you in the WhatsApp said, that, you know, when you leave off prayer, the enemy's attempt is to get you to get off prayer, and then you'll face a situation, you know, that you don't have enough strength to face. And we cannot do that. We are right now, we're standing in the grace of God as a result of prayer. Not just because, well, it's just the grace of God. No, we're standing in the grace of God that's a direct answer to prayer. So every one of these days that we keep having, that is good, as a direct result of that prayer. Let's just be in agreement. As husband and wife, we're fighting, we're suffering together. So let's pray and fight together continually. Oh, Father in heaven, God Almighty, blessed and holy and set apart and gloriously wonderful and faithful and good and kind and wonderful is your name in person. Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we love you. God, help me now to pray by the Spirit. Help me to pray in the spirit of prayer, Lord God. Please let your Spirit come upon us as we pray. Let the Spirit of prayer come upon Lisa too, Father, as she agrees with me. Father, we want to be in agreement with your Spirit and with your heart as we pray. Father, we love you and we need you. We wish to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, Lord. We wish to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Father, we know that we cannot survive without prayer. We cannot make it in this battle. We cannot make it in this faith victory without prayer. We need your grace, and grace comes through prayer. We ask you to hear our prayer today, O God, and bless us and strengthen us in our inner man. God, we are spiritual, born again of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us. And God, we depend upon you and draw from you today our daily bread necessary to do the job you've asked us to do your will in respect of our lives, respectively. We have different schedules now, but God, we both need your grace in order to make good today your name in our life and our heart, to do your will, to accomplish the tasks that you have before us, and to do the good work of believing in the one you sent and trusting you, Father, for these promises. God, we're in a very delicate spot, Lord, yet we are upheld by your grace. Just exactly as we've read this morning, Lord, in that Austin Sparks teaching, where the definition of spirituality is when you begin to see circumstances that completely contradict everything you've hoped for, that you've taken a stand on, and everything seems to be antagonistic, hopeless, and desperate. And instead of yielding to our feelings and to how we see and to what we hear and to what we feel, we are kept inside by spirituality, by the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you've made us spiritual. We thank you that we're not just still trying to read the Bible to figure this thing out. We thank you that we're still not running around in confusion about what it means to be a true Christian, or what it means to know the Lord's will, or what it means to hear from you. But God, you have given us your speaking voice, and you have given us your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, and you've given us incredible Psalm 32:8 and Psalm 25:12 and John 8:47 guidance. You've given us guidance, Lord. You have a will and a plan for our life and blessings for our life. And you have illustrations that you want to teach the body of Christ from our life. And you have ministry that you want to do through our life. And you are leading us into it and blessing us. And God, here we stand today. on my, the 27th of June, and the 28th for Lisa, we stand facing terrible contradictions of all that we've hoped for. We stand facing silence after hearing so clearly the voice of God move forward into this. We stand facing mountains that have just grown over the past few weeks. Circumstances that have become like on steroids. Opposition that has increased. We stand against the deadline of time. We stand against the silence and the inactivity that seems to say to us, we've believed as a fool. God, we stand against all the opposition that comes against our mind and against our hearts. And even now, Lord, I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, while my wife is sleeping, that you will bless her with restful, restorative sleep, protecting her from Satan in Jesus' name. And again, do not allow him to strike her in any way, God, that does not turn for her good. Lord, please grant us rest and sleep. Please, Father, keep the mouth of Ruby shut at night tonight, Lord God. Please let her not disturb Lisa. Please, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Michael commentary. Just so you know, Ruby is the name of Lisa's cat. And this cat started to become more and more disruptive to Lisa's sleep, which was becoming more and more increasingly difficult for us to get through her days with battling Satan when she's losing sleep. So believe it or not, this is a prayer God also answered, where I began to pray against Lisa's cat for that cat to be quiet at night and allow Lisa to sleep. End of commentary. Help her. Help her to get good, restful sleep, Lord. Thank you. Now, Father, we're standing in the face of all these circumstances, God, that say we have messed up, that there's too little time left. We've now come and gone into day 60 and 59 days remaining today, Lord, for me until it's time for me to leave. 59 days. I don't have the child support taken care of. I don't have anything that's happened on the house. I don't have anything that's happened on the passport. I don't have anything that's happened on the visa. I have no isolation arrangements secured. I have no divorce papers. Everything is being held back. There's nothing that's moved forward. We don't have a booking opened on 9/11. The booking is not open for us. The tent is not secured. God, every single thing that we have hoped for has not moved forward. And it looks like it's too late. It looks like we are quickly approaching the time when it will be too late. When the time in the hourglass has ran out and there's no way that I can secure all of that which is necessary in order for me to fly successfully to New Zealand on the 25th of August, landing the 28th and marrying on the 11th of September. And Father, yesterday was day 60, and the message about the dates that you gave me on May 9th came out yesterday on day 60 without me even planning it. Day 60 and day 77. The message came out 77 days before we marry. God, that is not a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. That yesterday there was only 77 days left, the very day I put up the message about the date you gave us. Father, we believe that you are testing us just as you did Joseph. We believe, Lord God, that just as you tested Joseph, as I said to her this morning, that until the time of your promise to Joseph came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. God, we know that until the time your promise has come true and we see something move forward, your word is testing us. And we see that you have been pleased not to give us some little thing, some little sign. You've been pleased not to let the booking change on the 9/11 date. You've been pleased not to allow there to be any sale on the tiny house, any movement, any emails, whatever. There's no progress on the child support, nothing. There's no divorce papers. You've been pleased to make it look like all is against us. Not just a few things, but everything is against us. And that's what Satan wants us to believe. Oh man, you've believed a fool. And Father, it very well could be true. There's many people that have waited hopelessly or hopefully for something that never came to pass, where they misheard you or you changed the plans. Lord, we know that's not the case in this instance. I know deep inside a spiritual knowing, not me trying to work it up, exactly as Austin Sparks talks about, deep inside of me and in my spirit, I know that you are doing this. I know that you have done this. I know you are doing this. I know you have already made a way. You have already provided for us. I know that you have. I know that you've made this way, Lord. I know that you're working behind the scenes. I know you show us that Job 239, for a reason, that when you're at work in the north, we cannot see you. Lord, we see you with the eyes of faith. Our spiritual eyes are seeing you, but Father, our natural eyes are seeing only the circumstances. Our natural eyes only see, oh my gosh, there's only 59 days left. God, what an incredible testimony. What an incredible experience, Lord, to be standing here waiting for you to act on our behalf, trusting in you, hoping in you. God, you are our hope. You are faithful. And we are confident of this, that we will still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Take heart and be strong. Yes, wait for the Lord. No one who hopes in him will ever be put to shame. Psalm 25:3. Romans 9:33, all who trust in him will not be disappointed. Romans 10:11. You keep showing us the persevere, Father, and we're persevering. Father, I want to thank you for the incredible grace. You see that this is very difficult for us. And you see, Lord God, that without your help, we wouldn't make it. Without you showing us all these numbers, even though sometimes, like Lisa said, you know, Lord, we want to see that you're really going to come through on these numbers, that it's not just all numbers, numbers, talk, talk, talk. God, yes, we have those feelings in us, Lord, but we believe you and we know. I know long enough, and Lord, please don't hold it against Lisa that I've been walking with you this way a lot longer than she has. Please remember that, Lord, that I've seen and I know that this pattern exists. I know that right before you're going to bless me, you start showing me all kinds of numbers because you know how difficult it is. And even then, I have to believe it by faith. So, Lord, allow Lisa to be strong. Allow her to take this concession and see that this really is you trying to help us to see. Just hold on. I'm in this. I am giving you these numbers. I mean, clearly, God, the numbers you're showing us are all the numbers that indicate exactly what we believe. If we persevere, we're about to enter the promised land, that we do not need to be afraid. We are not going to be put to shame. You are going to help us, Father. You are God in heaven. The little blue dot. Oh, my God, the picture of you, just the little tiny blue dot. You are the God who holds that little tiny blue dot inside that great vast universe in your hands. And just like Lisa said, you know, our little problems on that little tiny dot are so small, so easy for you. But when we look at them here, they can feel in the natural so big. And God, we despise our natures, Lord. We despise the part of us that has the capacity to unbelief, the capacity to make things, you know, molehills into mountains. God, we despise them. Lord, we love you. We look at you. You are muy gigantico, Lord. You are a very big God. You have all power and all strength and all might belong to the Lord. God, we know that you're at work. We know and believe that you're going to do this for us. We have that sense in us, Lord, not working it up. But we know deep down every day, yes, God has this, Lord, and we want to thank you for that. That's the testimony, God, that I'm not having to, we're not having to try to work up faith. It's already there. We're just having to continue to stay in it, continue to exercise in it, continue to draw grace down from heaven to keep that fire of faith hot. Father, we hope in you. Our hope is in you all day long. God, thank you so many times for saying, surely this is our God. We will say in that day, surely this is our God. We trusted him and him and he delivered us. We have seen his salvation. You're going to deliver us, Father. You're going to bless us and your name will be glorified. You're not going to allow me to be put to shame. You're not going to allow Lisa to be put to shame. God, I put out yesterday that you've given us dates. I've been doing this for 12 years and I've seen you time and time again come through for me. And I believe you. We hope in you. We trust in you. God, we ask you for the grace to believe you all the way to the end. God, just keep us in our faith. Keep us in grace all the way to the end, God. Let us not look at our human senses and lean on the feelings, God. No, we want to throw those in the garbage. We keep our eyes on you. We look to the hills, to the heavens, to where our help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Surely God is my help. It is the Lord who sustains me. God, you're sustaining us. Lord, sustain Lisa. Strengthen her, God, to believe all the way to the end. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, which is to wait for you. Faith is a very good thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And so we are doing the work of God, believing in you. Let us not grow weary, Father, in well-doing. For if we do not give up or faint in due time, we will reap a reward, a harvest of righteousness and peace and fruitfulness and pleasure to God because we believed you, and also the blessing to ourselves. God, strengthen us in these final days, Lord. Strengthen me, Father, today as I begin to take faith, see my faith, that I'm going to move the rocks away from the house today. I'm going to remove the foundation so that this house can be prepared to move, Lord. It's like pulling up the tent stakes. I'm not going to remove the tornado straps, God, until, you know, it becomes time. That can be done the day that the house is moved. But I'm going to prepare to move it. I'm going to get it all ready, and I'm going to remove all the foam board around the outside of it, Lord. And all that will be necessary is to cut off the electric, turn off the water, disconnect the gas, remove the things off the side of the house, and remove the jacks, and the house will be ready to be towed. So, Lord, see that I'm going to move today in faith. Strengthen me in my body, God, to move all these rocks, thousands of pounds of rocks I have to move today. Help me, God. Strengthen me, Lord. Let me not be hurt. And let me just, with every rock, God, let it be a picture of me removing the obstacles, removing the mountain, Father, preparing the way, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would look down and see my faith, that I believe. I know I'm not staying here. This tent is moving with me or without me. God, in the name of Christ, we now currently believe that you want us to take this to New Zealand, God, but we still don't know for sure, but we're leaning more towards that. If there's anything else you want to show us or make known to us, God, in Jesus' name, Father, if you want to show it to us, let us know if we've believed you incorrectly, Lord. But I look at how even the tiny house ads have gone totally silent. You're not allowing anybody to even contact right now, God. That is so clear that you've shut everything down. You've brought it all into a standstill. The circumstances at every facet are contradicting that we've heard correctly, that we are going to move forward, that we will see this promise, or that we're anything but just a couple of fools. Lord, I take great delight in that. It's easier for me to believe in circumstances like that than if there were only a few circumstances that contradicted. I'm inclined to perhaps believe I would have more doubt if that were the case. Then it shows clearly you are testing us. Clearly you are holding everything back in order to all at once, or perhaps one after another, remove these obstacles. Lord, we cannot wait to see what you're going to do, Father. Please look down and see that in all of our weakness, we believe you. We are willing to be fools for you. Please look down and see that we are anticipating your removing the mountains, God. We're anticipating, what are you going to do? We're looking at you and not saying, what are we going to do? We look at you and say, wow, what are you going to do, Father? What are you going to do? God, we look at and remember all the glorious things you've done, Father. We remember the dates and the times. God, we see that you continue to hit dates and times. I mean, me putting up that video yesterday and feeling the pressure to do so, on day 77 until we get married? Father, that's not a coincidence. And we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you've given us the opportunity. Lord, we're tired. Father, we are both tired, Lord. We feel it in our bodies. We have like chronic fatigue, Father, from this. I mean, I feel it even now as I pray. I feel this like I could lay down and take a nap. I'm sick in my body a lot because of sinuses. I'm feeling, you know, we're both feeling the fatigue of trying to keep this going and keep our emotions and keep our excitements and keep our love and keep our hopes. And God, it is exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting to do this. And we're so intent. And Father, we're not complaining. We're informing. We're casting all of our anxieties and pouring out our thoughts to you, O God, for you are our refuge. We're obeying your word. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he will sustain you. He cares for you. God, you care for us. Lord, we need strength. Please, God, strengthen us. We've known it's going to get harder, God. Please give us the strength to overcome this marathon spiritually. Do not allow the devils to overtake us. Do not allow our flesh to wear us out. God, let us burn hot with the power of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God, the God of all grace, is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against us will prosper. If God be for us, who can be against us? And God is able to make you stand, for he is faithful. And God will do this. You will do this. God acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You will surely fulfill your purposes for us, O God. God who fulfills his purpose for me. No one who hopes in him will ever be put to shame. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Have faith in God, Jesus said. Against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. He did not waver through unbelief. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Stand strong in your faith. If you do not stand strong in your faith, you will not stand at all. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. See to it none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that shrinks back or turns away from the living God. Oh, my Father in heaven, it will be to us according to our faith. And you have asked us, do you believe I can do this? God, we believe you can do this. We believe, God. We give you fiber, every fiber of our body, Father, every fiber of our spirit. We give it to you, God. We believe that you can do this. We believe you already have done this. Whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and they will be yours. God, I believe you've already done it. We haven't seen it yet. You are the God who gives life to the dead and who calls things that are not as though they are. We believe you have already done it. If you call it, if you speak it, it exists. When you say it, it has happened. We just haven't seen it yet. We have eyes of natural eyes. God, but spiritually, we know it's already been done, God. It's already been done. Father, bring yourself glory, Father. Show yourself powerful and faithful, God. Take these two weak siblings, God, of yours. Father, take these two weak Christians, Lord God, and let your power be made perfect in our weakness, O God. Choose this lowly, weak marriage, this lowly, weak couple, this lowly, weak set of children of God, Lord God, and show your power, Father. Confound the wise, Lord. Bring shame upon those who are strong in themselves, whose own strength is their God. Show that you are the great I am, Father. Show that you are the great I am. Hallelujah. God Almighty, I thank you, Father, for the spirit of prayer. God, I thank you for giving us the strength to believe you. I thank you, God, that you're pleased in heaven when we believe you for the impossible. This is the work of God. Believe in the one who he has sent. God, I thank you, Father, for allowing us to believe you, Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us faith to be faithful even to the point of death. Thank you, God, that when all circumstances have turned against us, Lord, when everything looks dead, God Almighty, inside we are alive. The eyes of faith are still alive. The eyes of faith still hope. God Almighty, we still believe you. We still have faith, O God. There is no God like you who acts in the face of the strong, who opposes the strong, who delivers the weak. There's no God like you who does this, Lord. Like Hezekiah, Lord, we say, O God, will you not judge our circumstances, Lord? We do not have the power to face this vast army of circumstances and contradicting antagonistic forces that come against us, Lord. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We face gigantic obstacles, Lord, that only you can remove, God. Tens of thousands of dollars has to come, Lord God. Amazing miracles have to happen. We're sitting here, God, with nothing but hope, God, and nothing but you can just move it out of the way, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, speak the word and we will be delivered, God. Simply say the word. Say the word, Lord God. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Do not be afraid. Just believe. This is what you have said. And God, how I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you've given me this power to believe you. Thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Thank you, God, for the grace of faith for us to believe you. Thank you, God, that we don't have to work it up. Thank you, God, that it's coming from inside. Thank you, God, for faith like lava that right now makes devils run scared, Lord, in Jesus' name. No matter what they've brought against us, we don't stop. We continue to believe, God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and no one who has hoped in you will ever be put to shame. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that devils run scared when they see the faith of the living Jesus Christ who shed his blood, who died on a cross and defeated Satan and his kingdom on that cross. Thank you, God, when they see children of God who lay hold of that fact by faith, God, in the name of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Satan hates us. Thank you that he's shown his fury against us. Thank you that he has signed his name, that this is of God, that I hate this, and the seed of Jesus Christ is in it. Thank you that devils, they never give up, but they are defeated. Thank you, Father, for an angry dragon who comes to make war against the woman and her offspring, those who hold to the commands of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that he is defeated, Father, by the cross of Jesus Christ and our testimony therein. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will see victory, that your name will be honored, that you will be brought glory on earth through this testimony, that we are but weak and you are strong, God Almighty. Thank you, Father, that you bring shame upon all those who are filled with unbelief, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for prophesying through me, Lord God. Thank you for giving me dates and telling us the future. There is no God like you who declares the end from the beginning. There is no God who can predict the future and bring it to pass like you. There are no idols and no false gods that can tell and do what you have done. You are the living God, the breathing God. There is no God like you. May you be praised by our faith. May this testimony bring glory and honor, Father, to those who are hoping in you, strengthening their faith, strengthening their obedience, strengthening their resolve to trust in you and hope in you. May it bring shame upon those who have a powerless, watered-down, worthless Christianity, God. May it bring shame upon those who are filled with unbelief. Shame upon those who have a form but have no power. Shame upon those who have traded religion, God, for the power of Christianity. Shame upon those, Father, who do not abide in you, Lord Jesus Christ, but are trying to work it out on their own strength, who are trying to fill their head and their mouth with the sayings of a powerless Christianity. God, let it bring shame and repentance, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. God Almighty, thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for that, God. Oh, thank you, God, for your power, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, thank you. Oh, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, thank you, Father. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Sweetheart, I'm finished. Oh, my God. Oh, baby. Wow. Wow, honey. I am sweating, sweetheart. Sweetheart, what you just heard is the power of the Holy Spirit. That was not your husband praying, sweetheart. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Wow, baby.
Michael Commentary.
Brothers and sisters, one day after that powerful prayer that was given to me through the Holy Spirit of God, Lisa and I would see the fulfillment of the very prophetic promise that in 3 days from the 26th of June, we would cross over the Jordan. You're getting ready to hear the greatest miracle that Lisa and I have ever experienced in 30 plus years of being a Christian. It's a direct answer to prayer. It's absolutely remarkable. You're going to hear about it in all of its detail in the very next episode, episode 25. But here's just a preview of what's to come to the glory of God. May God bless you as you listen. Lisa and I have been so perplexed. My email for the last 5 days has been stuck on 5,055 unopened emails, no matter how many emails come and go. When I'm done, it stays there. And I've got screen captures of this to the point where I've captured this morning number 10. 10 555s. It's incredible. Well, this is where the miracle happens. That is just, it brought me to my knees. I put my hands in my face. I began to weep like a little baby before the Lord. I was astonished. Here it is, the very day on 110, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. God tells me on Saturday, 110, in 3 days you will cross over the promised land. When I read these words, I collapsed into tears and I just said, oh my God in heaven. I could not explain how I felt and I have been in shock. It's like I've been stupefied by the blessing of God. I'm kind of looking around as if I'm in a different world. This is a supernatural miracle. She takes a gasp and she's like, $44,000. She's like, what? God has done the miracle. I've trusted him for the impossible and he's done a miracle.